The situation in Libya seems to change by the hour. Earlier today, government forces mounted strong resistance in parts of the Libyan capital. Then rebel forces scored an important victory, seizing control of Muammar Gaddafi's primary compound in Tripoli. At this point, the Libyan leader is still at large, and many of his forces, at least for now, have simply dissolved into the city. With the fight now focused on Tripoli, NPR's Rachel Martin reports on the unique challenges posed by urban warfare.
If Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi is found, killed, or captured, the rebels will finally be able to declare victory. Until then, the situation is totally unpredictable.
Tripoli may or may not hold for several days. It may be free or liberated in a day. It could have cadres that hold on for some time.
Anthony Cordesman is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He says if that happens, if Gaddafi's forces dig in, it becomes an altogether different kind of military operation.
You have to fight them out building by building, and it is very messy, and it can lead to very high casualties and a lot of physical damage.
U.S. and NATO forces have been targeting Gaddafi's command and control structures in Tripoli since the campaign began 5 months ago. Now that the rebel forces have entered the capital and taken over key parts of the city, the challenge is rooting out the elements of Gaddafi's forces still committed to the fight. David Johnson is a senior researcher with the RAND Corporation, and he studied another urban battle, the U.S. fight in Sadr City, Iraq, in 2008. Johnson says in that standoff, U.S. forces built a wall around Sadr City, cutting off militants from food and supplies.
And by doing that, it created a condition where these people came out and fought U.S. soldiers rather than U.S. soldiers having to go in to fight them.
Johnson says the same lessons of urban warfare can apply to the situation in Libya. But because there are no NATO troops on the ground, it'll be up to the Libyan rebels to force Gaddafi's fighters out into the open. The goal? Strangle them in a protracted battle. But at this point, the rebels are focused instead on the dramatic, if not necessarily decisive, actions, like storming Gaddafi's compound.
The difficulty, I think, is going to be between this desire to overwhelm and sweep through wherever Gaddafi forces are, or some patience that creates a condition where, in a classic siege-like way, that they have to do something. Forcing them to make some kind of action, they become visible, and they become particularly visible to overhead NATO assets.
NATO has flown more than 7,500 strike sorties since the beginning of the operation in late March. And the U.S. also has Predator drones flying in Libya. Dave Johnson, who's also a retired Army colonel, says those Predators are especially useful in urban warfare, tracking and locking onto targets with high levels of precision, crucial in a city of roughly 2 million people. The key is getting good intelligence from the ground. Here's retired Air Force Lieutenant General Mike Dunn.
Because you've got to distinguish friend from foe. Both sides don't always wear uniforms or carry flags or operate a certain type of equipment that would allow you to identify one from the other. It's always better to have someone on the ground pointing out, there's a guy 100 meters from me on the top of that hill, hit him.
It's that coordination between Libyan rebels on the ground and NATO forces flying overhead that'll help determine Libya's fate over the next few days, maybe weeks, maybe longer. Rachel Martin, NPR News, Washington.